Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Tuesday class, April 8, 2025, Zechariah.
Okay, this is the last time we're going to be coming this way. And next year, the way they got it now, we'll just call it madness. Forget about March Madness. It's madness. Okay. The championship final. One, two, three, four, five. There was a tie for sixth between Courtney and Mr. Mabul back here. So these were all got in the loot. You know, 10 million, 5 million, 3, 2, 1, half a million. So my brother Don, he had Florida. Clay had Houston. And was that something else? Came down to the very, very end. And the guy was going to shoot a three. The defensive guy jumped up. He threw the ball down, fine, but he can't pick it up. And the time ran out. Florida won the national championship. Brother Don wound up having Florida and win. Clay finished second. Sherry, well, she's playing musical chairs over there. Sherry third. Tex fourth. That's Chris Jones, in case you text. Guess who he had, huh? And then Tim and Dar, they are fifth, and then a tie for sixth, Courtney and Charlie Flood. That's where all the money went. There is no more money. Now Pastor Olson's broke. So let's see here. Now there are losers. There are losers. And I decided to take the bottom five. And I'm in it. I'm in the bottom five. My son Dave. See, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Son Dave's there. I'm in there. Irene, she's in there. Jerry, you didn't make the bottom five. You're in no man's land. And then Lil Jer, and then Hunter. So what we're going to do, the losers, we're going to take turns. We got a whole year. I get to be first. Here it is. Loser. Big loser on it. Don't anybody laugh. I'll be the first one to wear the loser hat. And I even thought I'd just teach tonight in the loser hat. And you can all say, yep, that's Pastor Olson. He is loser, loser, loser. But I didn't want to mess up my hair, you know, and all this stuff. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word, and therefore open the word of God to Zechariah. Great, great book, Zechariah. We are in chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. We are certainly aware, Father, that we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy, but we're still here, so there's hope. And we pray that there might be a spiritual revival in America. We pray that the grace gospel is given all over our nation, that many sons might come into glory. We pray, sir, for those Christians who have been making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, that they rebound, get back into fellowship with you, the filling of the Spirit, the spiritual life. And then they would seek out a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that the pivot might enlarge, that you might be free to deliver us from the fifth cycle of national discipline. So as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The president and CEO of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry is Jim Showers. And he starts out with a quotation from Psalm 83, verse 18. And that's the last verse of Psalm 83. And it says, that they may know you, you, the living and true God, whose name alone is the Lord. You are the Most High over all the earth. Psalm 83 gives us insight into Israel's key role in God's plan for the ages and the ever-present hatred the Jewish people face because of it. What I find most interesting in this last verse of Psalm 83 is the reason God acts to save Israel. It isn't for Israel's sake, but rather for his own name's sake. For who and what he is, his essence, his attributes. He is the living and true God. Israel's destruction would act as a stain on God and his glory. God would no longer be able to declare that he alone is the Most High God, if he could not save his uniquely chosen people, the apple of his eye. And that phrase, the apple of his eye, we're going to be studying that in Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah 2 verse 8. The end of the Jewish people would be the end of God's plan to redeem this world. And Satan would claim victory over him. Many see Psalm 83 as yet to be fulfilled prophecy. I see it as a timeless reminder that the hatred of Israel is Satan's work, which leads to the persecution of the Jewish people. The psalm articulates why Israel's existence is essential to our hope of eternal life with God through faith in the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Since Israel's inception, Satan has worked tirelessly to destroy the nation Israel. And that is certainly still going on to this day. All right. Zechariah chapter 1. We studied the first paragraph, which is Zechariah. And by the way, Zechariah is he loves God. He loves the Word of God. He is a great communicator of the Word, a great prophet. He's very young, too, and a great communicator of God's Word. And with all these people coming back from the fifth cycle of national discipline, coming back after 70 years in slavery to the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar and then under the Medo-Persians, God raised up leaders like Cyrus the Great and Darius Hystaspes. And both of these leaders of Persia, they heard the grace gospel. They believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there became a large pivot of mature believers in Persia. And Cyrus was the first one who gave a decree that the Jews could go back to their land. And then Darius Hystaspes repeated the decree that the Jews could go back, but they had to rebuild the temple. Go back and rebuild the temple, because that's where the Shekinah glory, the living and true God, lives, in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. And when you go back, first thing first, get your spiritual priorities first. Spiritual priorities over the details of life. And rebuild the temple. Don't worry about the city. Don't worry about Jerusalem. You get your spiritual priorities in order and rebuild the temple. And then repent. Change your thinking. Turn back to God. Turn back to the Word of God. And worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ. So he started out with that great paragraph on repentance. And then that brought us to a series of 8 visions from Zechariah 1:7 to chapter 6, verse 15. 8 visions. And they came one day, one night, all 8 visions. The first vision is the red horse rider among the myrtle trees, Zechariah 1:7-17. We've almost completed this first vision. In verse 7, the Bible gives the exact date of all 8 of these visions, February 15th, 519 B.C. Now, we've exegeted Zechariah 1:8 through, actually, partway through verse 12. But let's take a look at the corrected translation of Zechariah 1:8 through 11. During the night I had a vision, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. And he was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine. And behind him, behind the Lord Jesus Christ, were red, brown, and white horses. And who was riding these? Elect angels. Elect angels. Verse 9. Then I said, "My Lord, what are these?" And the angel, the teaching angel of God, who was speaking with me, said to me, "I will show you what these things are." And then the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered and explained, "These are the ones whom the Lord has sent out on a military mission, a military mission to walk to and fro throughout the earth. These are the elect angels sent on a military mission. Verse 11. So they answered the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, who was standing among the myrtle trees, and said, We, the elect angels, have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, the whole world is at rest and in peace. They were very successful on this mission. The military mission of the angelic troops has been completed. Their mission was to establish stability in the areas that would affect the Jews. These three angelic troops had a mission to neutralize the effectiveness of demonic forces. For who is the ruler of planet Earth? A fallen angel. Satan is the ruler of planet Earth, and he has military forces, fallen angels, demonic troops. So these three angelic troops had a mission to neutralize the effectiveness of Satan's demonic forces. This is all behind the scenes. You see, this is the same thing going on right now in the world. Same thing going on in America right now. And most of the people, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Word of God. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in anything except themselves. And yet, this is what's going on in America, behind the scenes, a spiritual warfare going on between fallen angels, demonic forces, and elect angels, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the living and true God. We are the client nation to God right now, and there's hope because we're still here. We're still here, so there's hope for America. So these three angelic troops had to neutralize the effectiveness of demonic forces. Here we have the principle that Jesus Christ controls history. Here we have the picture of the behind-the-scenes function of history with the Lord Jesus Christ using elect angelic forces for reconnaissance and for fighting demonic forces or fallen angels. They were sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ to provide worldwide stability so that the Jewish people would be protected and could continue their rebuilding mission. They had to rebuild the temple first, spiritual priorities first, and then rebuild the walls and fortifications. The angelic report came back that everything is stabilized. The Jews have turned back to God and His Word, resulting in a large pivot of mature believers, and therefore the Lord Jesus Christ is now protecting them at this period of time. Jesus Christ controls history. Now, the Jews had no walls and no fortifications around Jerusalem, but they have a large pivot of spiritually mature believers. So the Lord Jesus Christ put a wall of fire around them, and He protected them. That brought us to verses 12 and 13. The intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ as the angel of the Lord. Now, we've only exegeted part of verse 12. It's that part that we've exegeted sounds like this. Then the angel of the Lord, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the appearance of Jesus Christ prior to His incarnation and virgin birth in theophany. answered and said a prayer. He said a prayer. All prayers go to God the Father. To God the Father. And he addressed God the Father, O Lord of the army, Jehovah Tsevaoth, how long will you withhold compassion from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah? This is a prayer offered, intercessory prayer from Jesus Christ to God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, is offering this prayer to God the Father. And God the Father has a title here. He is called Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. The Lord Jesus Christ is making this intercessory prayer for Israel to God the Father. And God the Father will give his answer to a teaching angel. And then that teaching angel will give the answer to Zechariah. Then the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, answered and said a prayer, intercessory prayer, to God the Father, O Lord of the armies, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah? The preposition ad, combined with the interrogative adverb matai, is correctly translated, how long? How long? Personal pronoun ata is very emphatic. You don't have to have a personal pronoun in either Greek or Hebrew. When you add it, it puts the spotlight on that person. And you, ata is you, and you is God the Father. And then the verb racham. And racham is the verb that means to have compassion, to be compassionate. The living and true God is a God of grace. He is a God of absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He is a God of infinite virtue, infinite integrity, and he is infinitely fair. When Israel was in apostasy and degeneracy and turned away from God and away from the Word of God, then the righteousness and justice of God had to administer the fifth cycle of national discipline. And therefore, in 586 BC, God brought Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, slaughtered many of the people, men, women, children, and took the survivors into slavery. And in slavery to the Chaldeans, first of all, and then in slavery to the Persians, they turned back to God and his word. And God in his absolute righteousness and perfect justice brought them back into the land of Israel in 536 BC. Now they are in a land with no fortifications, no wall, and they are in a land with no temple. Therefore, they need protection. And the Lord Jesus Christ's intercessory prayer is for Israel's protection. How long will you withhold compassion? And then we have the direct object marker F with Yerushalayim from Jerusalem. And then Va'eth Ade Yehuda, and from the towns of Judah. That's as far as we've gone. Now we pick it up from there. Against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years. How long is that? 70. 70 years, I knew you knew that, okay. So this is the relative pronoun asher plus the cow perfect of za'am plus the demonstrative pronoun ze plus the plural of the noun shiv'im. It'd be hard to, if I was a good Jew, I'd say shiv'im. There you go. There, that's better. And then the noun shana, the relative pronoun asher. Looks like that. Aleph, A-S-H-E-R. Asher. And the relative pronoun asher, sometimes it's who, and here it's which. Correctly translated which. And then the verb za'am. Now, I'm going to put the, I always say it this way so that I can distinguish. The Jews never did. This is a comet. This is a pathak. Now the Jews would just say za'am. They wouldn't distinguish in sounding it za'am. But this is a long A, that's a short A. So all of us Americans studying Hebrew, we call it za'am. That way we know this is comet pathak. So it's Z-A-M. I-N-A-M. They pronounce it za'am. I say za'am just so I know that this is the verb and not the noun. So, one, za'am means to be indignant, literally, to be indignant, to have indignation. And this indignation is coming from God, from God the Father. Now, indignation, that's in anthropopathism. So what we, when we have a passage about indignation or anger or wrath or all of that, those are all anthropopathism. And it refers to the fact that God is holy. God is absolute righteousness. God is perfect justice. And therefore, when a people turns away from God and His Word, then the righteousness and justice must judge those people. And when America turns away from God and the Word of God, then God must judge our nation. Must judge our nation. And sure, and I am 100, I love this, our president, I love him and what he's doing, I love everything he's doing, but none of that is a nation turning back to God and the Word of God. And that's the only thing that's going to deliver us. Yes, he's a great president. What the things he's doing, these are all things that are lined up with establishment truth, but it has nothing to do with us turning back to God and the Word of God. Most of the people in this country don't believe in God at all. Don't believe in God, don't believe in the Word of God, don't believe in anything about the Word of God. The only hope for this nation is to turn back to God and the Word of God. But God is holy, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And He sees what's going on here. I turn on the TV, I cannot see, watch TV without having ads that show two men kissing each other, two women kissing each other. Homosexuality, lesbianism, I have to watch that. Your children have to watch that. It's on TV. Well, all I know is what God did with Sodom and Gomorrah. Kaboom! There is no Sodom and Gomorrah. He'll do the same thing to us. We are in such degeneracy and apostasy. And if you teach that homosexuality and lesbianism is a sin, and I teach what the Bible says, they call it that Pastor Olson has hate speech. No, I don't have hate speech. I love the living and true God, and this is the Word of God, and He is a holy God, and He's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And they accuse God of hate speech. And that's blasphemy. And here we have all these people in this country accusing God of hate speech because of what He has in His Word. And that is blasphemy. And the only thing that's going to deliver America is to turn back to God and to His Word. So, literally, za'am means to be indignant, to have indignation. Two, this is the function of the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Three, in apostasy and degeneracy, as a result of turning away from God and His Word, God administered the fifth cycle of national discipline on His client nation, Israel, on the Jewish people, the apple of His eye, Israel. He had to. He is a holy God. He's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And in apostasy and degeneracy, as a result of turning away from God and His Word, God administered, He had to. He administered the fifth cycle of national discipline on Israel and the Jewish people. Four, but now, after 70 years, the nation was destroyed by the Chaldeans. The temple was destroyed. The people were slaughtered. And a remnant, a few, went on a death march to Babylon for slavery. And they were in slavery in Babylon and then in the Persian Empire for 70 years. 70 years. 70 years. But now they've turned back to God and His Word. Biblical repentance. Five. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is making an intercessory prayer for them. He's making an intercessory prayer for them. They've turned back to God and His Word. Now here we see Jesus Christ making intercessory prayers to the Father. And we saw that in the great John 17, His intercessory prayer for the royal family. But we have coming up on Sunday morning in Romans, the intercessory prayer of God the Holy Spirit to the Father. So here we have this great intercessory prayer from Jesus Christ to the Father. We're going to get to Romans 9 and see the intercessory prayer of God the Holy Spirit for the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer, under undeserved suffering for blessing. Winner believers who have attained spiritual maturity, who have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. And because they have attained spiritual maturity, they're qualified for one of the most unique categories of blessing, undeserved suffering for blessing. The opportunity to glorify God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity. And this undeserved suffering for blessing, it's only for the winner believers, not for baby believers, not for reversionistic believers, not for adolescent believers, only for spiritually mature believers. They are the only ones qualified to wear this mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. The opportunity of glorifying God in intense suffering as well as in prosperity. And that's when God the Holy Spirit intercedes on their behalf. And it says, when we get to that passage, I'm in that passage in my study right now. It's absolutely phenomenal. God the Holy Spirit prays for that winner believer, because that winner believer, under intense, undeserved suffering, the suffering is so intense, it's so great, that many times he can't even have the concentration to think, to pray. And God the Holy Spirit's, not to worry. I got your back. And the Holy Spirit he has the back of that winner believer under intense, undeserved suffering. And he prays for him. You have groanings. Well, God never groans about anything. It's words that can't even be uttered. Doesn't have to. He's the omniscient, all-knowing God, and the prayer's going to the omniscient, all-knowing God. From omniscience of the Holy Spirit to omniscience of God the Father. Doesn't have to utter words like we do. I'm up here uttering words. You utter words. But we have three groanings in Romans. Get to the next chapter. Three groanings. Nature groans. The animals are groaning. They're groaning. They can't wait for the second advent, the millennial kingdom, and the curse taken off. They're groaning. Nature's groaning. And then spiritually mature believers under undeserved suffering. Undeserved suffering. That great mantle for the winner believer to glorify God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity. The winner believer is groaning with undeserved suffering. And it's so intense, he doesn't even have the ability to concentrate and think and pray. And then God the Holy Spirit groans. Intercessory prayer for that winner believer. God the Holy Spirit has the back of the winner believer. So not to worry. Not to worry. I hope you all qualify for undeserved suffering for blessing. I hope you all do. I hope every one of you qualify. And it'll be intense. But God the Holy Spirit has your back, and his prayers 100% are answered. You got that one down. You don't have to worry about that one. The Holy Spirit's prayers are answered 100%, and he's got your back. Yeah. Right now I've gone from the loser hat to the winner hat. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is making intercession for them. And then we have Zeshivim Shana, which is these 70 years. See, sounds a little better in English. These 70 years, all right? One, these 70 years are from 586 to 516 B.C. These 70 years are from 586 to 516 B.C. 2. These are the years that the temple lay in ruins. These are the years that the temple lay in ruins. There was no temple. There was no Holy of Holies. The Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, was not dwelling in the Holy of Holies. There was no Holy of Holies. There was no temple. These are the years that the temple lay in ruins. 3. The Jews have been out under the fifth cycle of national discipline since 586 B.C., when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army. The Jews have been out under the fifth cycle of national discipline since 586 B.C., when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army. 4. In 536 B.C., they returned to the land of Israel. But they returned to the land, and there was no temple. 5. In 516 B.C., the temple will be completed. Then the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, answered and said a prayer to God the Father. Intercessory prayer. O Lord of the armies, God the Father, how long will you withhold compassion from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been indignant with? That is the function of God's holiness, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, these 70 years. Get that? Then the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ answered and said a prayer to the Father. O Lord of the armies, how long will you withhold compassion from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been indignant with, the function of your righteousness and justice, these 70 years? Now, the words "how long" in the Lord Jesus Christ intercessory prayer are a threefold request to God the Father. Threefold request to the Father. First, that God the Father would remove His hand of national discipline from Judah. First of all, that God the Father would remove His hand of national discipline from Judah. Second, that God the Father would bring a speedy end to the suffering of the Jewish people after their 70 years of captivity. Second, that God the Father would bring a speedy end to the suffering of the Jewish people after their 70 years of captivity. And third, that God the Father would restore Judah and Jerusalem. Now God the Father answered this intercessory prayer from the Lord Jesus Christ, and His answer will go through the interpreting angel, the teaching angel, and that's verse 13. And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me. We have the conjunction vav prefixed to the cal imperfect of ana, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the direct object marker eth, joined by a makef to the noun malak, with a definite article, plus the cal active participle of daver, with the definite article, and the preposition beth with the first person singular suffix. Now the conjunction vav is a conversive vav. It converts the imperfect into a perfect. The imperfect of ana into a perfect. So the verb ana once again means to answer, to respond. The subject of the verb is the tetragrammaton, and that's the Lord, God the Father. He's the one all prayers are offered to the Father. So the subject of the verb is the tetragrammaton, Jehovah, the Lord, and this is God the Father. God the Father and the Lord answered. The Lord, God the Father answered. Direct object marker F introduces the one to whom God the Father is speaking. And he's speaking to Malak. And Malak, we've had that now several times. That's the Hebrew word for angel, the angel, with the definite article, the angel. So, one, the angel is the teaching angel. The teaching angel. So the angel, the Malak, Ha Malak, the angel is the teaching angel. Two, God the Father is giving his answer to the teaching angel. He's giving his answer, the answer of this intercessory prayer from Jesus Christ. So God the Father is giving his answer to the teaching angel. Three, then the teaching angel will give his answer to Zechariah. And then the verb davar, which means to speak or to talk. And we get that from the noun from that is dav. Well, that dav, I, daver is the verb, davar is the noun, and that's the words. The preposition baith with the first person singular suffix means with me. With me is Zechariah. So corrected translation, so the Lord, God the Father, answered the angel, the teaching angel, who talked with me, Zechariah. Get that? So the Lord, God the Father, answered the angel, the teaching angel, who talked with me, Zechariah. And how did he answer him? With good words and comforting words. This is the plural of the noun davar. So here we have the noun with the verb with daver, to speak. Here's the noun from that verb, davar, modified by the plural of the adjective tov, plus the plural of the noun davar repeated, this time modified by the plural of the noun nechum. All right. Now I don't put everything up here. I'm going to put, that's the verb, see. There's comets packet, pathak, that's to speak, daver. Now, when you just, if you made it comets, that's the noun. And so it's the same radical, but just the different pointing. Comets. So davar means speech or word in the plural, words. And then we have tov. T long O B, tov. And tov, when it's used of God, as it is in our verse, it means intrinsically good. Intrinsically good words. So these are intrinsically good words from the infinitely perfect God. And then we have nechum. That's N-I-C-H long U-M, nechum. And that's from the verb nachem, which means to be compassionate. Here is the noun, nechum, which means compassionate words. So corrected translation, with intrinsically good and compassionate words. So, verse 13 then says, so the Lord, God the Father, answered the angel, the teaching angel, who talked with me, Zechariah, with intrinsically good and compassionate words. Now in verses 14 to 16, we have an amplification of this last phrase, intrinsically good and compassionate words. In the verses 14 to 16, the teaching angel will describe the type of mercy and compassion that God will bestow on Judah and the Jewish people. So in verses 14 to 16, the teaching angel will describe the type of mercy and compassion that God will bestow on Judah and the Jewish people. Verse 14. So the angel that talked with me said unto me, this is the conjunction vav, prefix of the cal imperfect of amer, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, plus the noun malak once again with the definite article, plus the calactic participle of daver with the definite article ha, plus the preposition bath with the first person singular suffix. Once again, the conjunction vav expresses inference or consequence and is correctly translated then. It can be translated so or then. We'll translate it then. And then amer once again means to say or to speak or to communicate. The subject of the verb is ha-malak. Ha-malak, the angel. The angel is the teaching angel. The preposition el denotes motion toward and is correctly translated to, first person singular suffix, to me. To me is Zechariah. So once again, daver means to speak, to talk, the preposition bath with the first person singular suffix, with me, Zechariah. So then the angel who was speaking with me, the teaching angel, said to me, cry thou saying. Now he doesn't want you to cry, but this is in the imperative mood, and it means to speak very loudly. Cry thou saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. We have the cal imperative of the verb kara plus the cal infinitive construct of amer with the adverb ko plus the cal perfect of amer repeated plus the tetragrammaton with the plural of the noun Tsevaoth, Jehovah Tsevaoth. We know that, the Lord of the armies. So kara looks like that in the Hebrew, Q-A-R-A, Aleph, kara. Kara means to call, to cry out, to communicate with loud speech. The Brown Driver and Briggs on page 895 says that in our verse, it's in the imperative mood too, by the way, it means to proclaim, to make a proclamation, to make this proclamation. And then amer again saying, and ko is a demonstrative adverb. This is what Jehovah Tsevaoth, this is what the Lord of the armies, this is what the Lord of hosts, this is what the Lord Almighty, and this is God the Father. And then amer is repeated, says. So make this proclamation, imperative mood, make this proclamation saying, this is what Jehovah Tsevaoth, God the Father, says. Make this proclamation saying, this is what Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies, says. And then he said, I am jealous for Jerusalem. This is God the Father. Here is the thinking of God the Father. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. This is the PL perfect of kana plus the preposition lam with prefix to the noun Yerushalayim, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the preposition lam with which is prefix to the noun tzion, plus the noun kina modified by the adjective gadol. Now we have a verb kana, and then a noun that comes from that verb, kina, kana, kina. Verb, kana, kina, noun. Kana. Q-A-N-A, olive, kana. All right, this is an important word. And again, this is an anthropopathism. To put in human terms, a principle that we can understand. But it actually is describing, again, the holiness of God. So point one, kana, means literally to be jealous of, to be envious of, to be zealous for. To excite, to jealous anger, to provoke to jealous anger. It's used in a negative way and in a positive way. Two, in a negative way, when man is the subject of kana, jealousy is the strongest of all mental attitude sins. In a negative way, when man is the subject of kana, jealousy is the strongest of all mental attitude sins. However, three, in a positive way, when God is the subject, as in our verse, jealousy is an anthropopathism describing the function of the essence of God, specifically the holiness of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. So, positively, when God is the subject, as in our verse, jealousy is an anthropopathism describing the function of the essence of God, specifically the holiness of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. For what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. Five. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. And in the day of Jeremiah, well, Jeremiah was a great, great Bible teacher, great Bible teacher. But the people in Israel, they were negative. They rejected God, they rejected the word of God, they rejected everything that Jeremiah taught. They turned away from God, they turned away from the word of God. They got involved in apostasy and degeneracy. But God doesn't change. People change. We've changed in America. This nation began. Christians were being persecuted in Europe. And they were willing to sacrifice everything and come to a new land where they could have the freedom to worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ. So they came to America. That's how this nation was founded. And the people here were, they love God. They love the Word of God. And God blessed America. From that time, He blessed America. Now we're turning away from God. Now we're turning away from the Word of God. God hasn't changed. He still is holy. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. 6. When client nation Israel was in apostasy and degeneracy, then the justice of God brought the fifth cycle of national discipline. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army to destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, destroy most of the Jewish people, and take the survivors into captivity. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. When client nation Israel was in apostasy and degeneracy, then the justice of God brought the fifth cycle of national discipline. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army to destroy the temple, destroy Jerusalem, destroy most of the people, take the survivors in captivity. 7. However, what the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. Eight, when the Jewish people repented and turned back to God and His Word, when the Jewish people repented and turned back to God and His Word, then the justice of God brought them back into the land. Nine, now the righteousness and justice of God is pouring out great blessings on His client nation, Judah, in Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. Now the righteousness and justice of God is pouring out great blessings on His client nation, Judah, and Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. Ten, a part of this great blessing to Jerusalem and the Jewish people is protection from other nations and people. A part of this great blessing to Jerusalem and the Jewish people is protection from other nations and peoples. The PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. And so this is intensified jealousy. Now God is intensely zealous for His client nation Israel and the Jewish people. 11. Therefore, this intensified love for Jerusalem and the Jewish people can be compared to a husband's love for his wife and zealously protecting her from abuse by others. Therefore, this intensified love for Jerusalem and the Jewish people can be compared to a husband's love for his wife and zealously protecting her from abuse by others. All right. Well, we'll stop there. We'll pick it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.